is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Jesus was not having a bad day. Just the opposite. He was very focused and knew what he was doing. This is quite a scene in this gospel. So let's really visualize this particular moment. First of all, it's the Feast of the Passover. This is the biggest deal in the calendar year for the Jews. This is the feast that God said, I want you to remember every year from now on that through my power I brought you out of Egypt. So we're talking about the Exodus event when God saved the Israelites with the passing over of the angel of death, and they had marked their doorways with the lamb, the blood of the lamb. So this is a major celebration. In fact, it's now become a huge festival. And we're talking, would you believe, maybe 100,000 people are crowding into the area around Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is on a hill. So here are people coming from Rome, from Iran and Iraq, from actually areas near China, because of the silk trade going through Galilee. So here is this amazing amount of people. And one of the issues going on here is they're going to the temple to offer sacrifice. And they need to buy something to give to the priest to offer on their behalf. So if you're traveling from Rome, and you have a nice, excellent group of sheep at home, if you took one of those, your best sheep, and traveled from Rome to Jerusalem, that sheep is not going to be in the best of shape by the time it got to Jerusalem. Therefore, they had people selling things for you. So when you arrive, you can buy a new sheep or a cow or a dove. Now, we think that originally all of these sellers were actually in the Kidron Valley before Jerusalem. And maybe the chief priest said, ah, I see a fundraiser. Let's invite them to come into the temple grounds. Maybe we can get a little something. So here they are crowded in this gorgeous, huge temple property. We're talking cattle, sheep, doves, tables. We're talking noise and crowded people and a lot of animals making poo. And it's all in the temple grounds. And in walks Jesus, and it hits him. That passage from Scripture, do not make my Father's house a marketplace. And it's the first time Jesus out loud says, God is my Father. So Jesus is focused. He sees all this noise and all of these cattle and all these people. And there are probably all kinds of husbands and wives and partners and families milling around the sheep and the cattle, wondering which one they select. And maybe the wife says to the husband, well, that one's, you know, a little cheaper than this one, and we have bills back at home, so why don't we just settle for this one? And the husband might turn and say, oh, really? Because going on in this passage also, as we will see later in the next chapter of John, is worshiping in spirit and in truth. Do we bring our best self? So in this scene, Jesus makes a cord to get these sheep and cows out. Because sheep, you've gone to LA County Fair, I'm sure, and you've seen they have tough hides. So if Jesus goes, now come on, let's go, they're not going to budge. But with a cord, he's going to be much more effective. So the first miracle in this story is it says he gets them out. The sheep and the cattle, which is like herding cats, he somehow gets them all out and then turns over these tables of all these money changers who were probably not being accurate with what they charged. So in this scene, where are you? Are you ready to buy the best sheep or oxen or goat or dove that you see, depending upon your budget? So where are you in this scene? Are you near the disciples who are struck by the intensity of Jesus and his focus? And they turned to one another and said, zeal is consuming him. Today, are you wondering where you have zeal in your life or passion or purpose? Because in that moment, Jesus was fired up with purpose. Where is purpose in your life? Now, one of the ways that the disciples were dealing with Jesus was they had witnessed some amazing miracles. And so we see in this Gospel of John, it's chapter 2. So before this particular gospel is the wedding feast at Cana. And in John's gospel, at the end of that description, there's a sentence, and the disciples believed in him. The other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have the same scene, but at the end. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't have Jesus making a cord, a whip to drive the money changers and the cattle and everybody out. But we have this scene in all four Gospels. But toward the end of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's probably a way for the writers to help us understand that the intensity of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, had pushed the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders to the max. And this was the final straw. So in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this happens right before those events where Jesus is arrested and tried. But in John, it's at the beginning. And it's a worship scene. And so I wonder how you come here on a Sunday morning. Because that following chapter where Jesus meets Nicodemus at night and he says, from now on, I invite you to worship in spirit and in truth. So do you come with your truth in the morning on a Sunday? Now, especially today, because it's daylight savings time and we're all deprived of an hour of sleep, it's harder to be focused, I am sure. But one of the ways we might make a choice for worship is how focused can we be during a service? How can we focus on the words of the prayers and the words of the song, and not be thinking of what do I need to buy at Vaughn's when I leave here or when I go to Trader Joe's? Because we're quite capable of double tasking. Because I read the Great Thanksgiving and the Eucharistic prayer week after week, I have to learn to stay focused. It's amazing to me that I'll be reading along and all of a sudden I'm here. When did I get there? Because I don't remember reading it as I drifted off. And I'm saying this out loud. And we all have the capacity to get this moment where we just drift to somewhere and then we come back and I keep reading away. So I try to have different inflection when I'm reading so I can stay present. And it shocks me that I have this public role and I can still get distracted. And yes, I do. And Jesus invites us to be in the moment, in worship, in spirit, all of ourselves in the truth of this moment. And that leads me to the theme of this particular Sunday in Lent, our third Sunday in Lent. And our theme today is new wisdom. What kind of wisdom is Jesus talking about? And the wisdom that Paul is describing in the second reading focuses on how could the cross be used by God? And yet we hear in that particular passage that it is the power of God, that God triumphed over death through the life of Christ. So we have these three things. The first one was new relationship, and we have the rainbow, the promise of God. We have new vision. Do we eclipse God's vision for our lives? But today we have, where are you seeking wisdom? In God or in the world? Years ago, there was an article written about religion today. And one of the phenomena that's happening today is when people move into a new neighborhood, they church shop. And several times each month, I'll greet someone leaving our church, and I'll say, are you from here? Well, yes, and we're church shopping. And part of the church shopping, and let's be honest, is, okay, how does coming here make me feel? How does coming here make me feel? And so we're almost buying into a consumeristic society also, aren't we? What can I produce to help people feel better when they come here so they'll come here next week? And that's not the purpose of worship. How does it make me feel? And yet, one of the gifts of worship is that we can leave here more peaceful, more strengthened, a new insight, a challenge, and we go out the door and we live in another way, in the new wisdom of God, because we encountered in this particular service through words, through the music, through the silence, something shifted and it helps us to live it out. But real worship is in spirit and in truth and being here for God, in God, through God, in thanksgiving. Do we bring the best that we have into this moment, or do we drag ourselves in? And then what do we offer God? We can't offer God a sheep, oxen, or dove. But we do pledge. How do we pledge? Is it the last check we write each month or the first? Is it the first fruit that we give to God? Or what do we have left over? Okay, we can give God this much this month. So this particular gospel has layers to it, doesn't it? Because the reason all of these travelers came to the temple, these 100,000 people, and waited to buy their sheep or cattle or oxen or dove was because they wanted to pick out the best that would represent the prayer they were offering in thanksgiving and sacrifice to God. So that's something for us to think about also. What is the best that we give to God? So I pray this morning that you allow yourselves to really be here. Bite the inside of your cheek if you need to stay focused. And be here in spirit and in truth. And allow the wisdom of God to be what you seek in this world. As you leave, be that for others. Amen.